What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 58, and this is a different episode because this is Saturday, not Friday. So we might have actually we don't have much more news, but it's a little different. It's weird doing this on a Saturday, don't you think, there, Derek?
Yeah, I agree. It's my fault. I had to work yesterday.
Yeah. So, it's the afternoon. It's more in the afternoon, so I think we're a little bit more awake.
Yeah,
which
or at least should be.
Yeah, we should be more awake, which is good. But our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps this podcast keep on going. We'll jump right in and talk about the reviews this week. And I took a look at a really cool product, one that I was excited about when I first saw it, when it was in its, I guess you would call prototype stage.
Last year at CES?
No, year before.
Year before, okay.
2 years ago at CES, we were visiting with Intel, and one of the reps pulled out of their pocket this little device, which turned out to be the Intel Compute Stick, which is a little HDMI stick that is actually a full-size computer in the palm of your hand, which is pretty crazy. And it came out last year, the first generation. And now the second generation just came out. I don't know if it was announced at CES, but it came out around that time. Okay. So we now have the second generation, and that's what I took a look at this week. And I do have to say, for how small it is, it's crazy that you can turn any display into a functioning computer with this.
Right.
This is something that's not like – I mean, while it is limited, it's not super limited, right? It's a full PC.
It's full Windows, right?
Yeah, you're running Windows 10. You know, you can do everything you would on your normal computer.
Right.
You know, it's – I mean, not everything. I mean, you're not going to game – you're not going to be playing
– No.
You know, games on it and things like that.
I think that's generally understood, though.
But just for the size of this thing, I could pick this up and put it in my pocket.
Ultimate Media Center PC?
Yeah, you could do. It's like a media center PC.
Like, I'm sure it'll run 4K, right?
Not this one.
No,
not 4K okay. Video. No.
Okay.
So I did test it with 4K video. It stutters.
Okay.
But they do
even just video playback.
Yeah. So this we'll go over specs real quick. It's running Intel's Atom Z5 Z8300. That's Cherry Trail. Processor. It has 2 gigabytes of DDR3 memory and 32 gigabytes of onboard storage. Now, that's what holds it back, is that 2 gigabytes of memory. That's just not a lot. You know, so
especially when that's doing video and system memory.
Yeah. So the you know, I test this with a lot of stuff. Is if you're doing basic web browsing, you know, word processing, any type of, like, if you want a more business sense, like digital signage or like a kiosk, this would run anything that would do perfectly. Now, if you're web browsing and you have like more than 4 or 5 tabs open, you do notice a slowdown. It's just, you know, Chrome and these other browsers, as you keep on opening tabs, they kill memory. And when your memory gets low, you're going to notice a slowdown.
Yeah. Especially like Chrome. Yeah. So probably avoid Chrome on that even.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, what I did to really test it is I actually used it as my computer.
Okay.
I did, you know, I was posting news and doing things like that. You know, so I had Spotify open, and I was using Chrome. Not a whole lot of windows or not a whole lot of tabs, because I knew it was going to slow down. But just going through my basic workflow, and it worked fine. Like, it wasn't, you know.
Would you say it was, like, noticeably different from using an Ultrabook, even?
Not noticeably, no.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, the biggest thing with, even with the Ultrabooks, is, you know, they only have, some of them, a lot of them only have 4 gigabytes of memory. And that,
right.
Even, like, the Ultrabook I have has 4 gigabytes. And, you know, when you have, you know, a bunch of tabs open, and then you have Spotify and whatever else you're running.
Yeah, and I've seen screens of your browser tabs too. You usually run like 10, 15. So.
Yeah, I have a lot open. So, I mean, you know, but it's just, I really like the fact that it's super small. You know, this is something, and the one that we reviewed is, I think, $149.
That's a bargain.
$150 already has Windows loaded. You know, and the thing that's also really great about this too is the original compute stick only had one USB port. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to connect a keyboard and mouse, you'd have to get a hub or something like that.
Yeah.
This one has two, and one's actually USB 3.0 port. So if you wanted to, you know, if you had wired keyboard and mouse, you can easily connect it to this, you know.
Did you do any transfer testing on the 3.0?
I did not.
Okay.
I
would imagine it's not like true 3.0 speeds, but
it would probably be pretty close. Yeah, it's. I mean, it is a 3.0 port, but again, you're not getting the super. You're not going to get the processing power to.
Yeah. Do you think you could plug a USB drive in there to use as expanded memory?
Yes. Like or storage.
Expanded storage, yeah.
Yeah, expanded storage, but, yes.
And easily it'd be, you know, functional.
Yeah, sense. Yeah, for sure, definitely. You can also, there is an SD, micro SD slot on there. So
oh, cool.
You can add up to 128 gigabytes of memory or storage. Yeah, of storage that way too. It's just like I said, this device, it's not something that we're going to be like, oh, we have a super powerful computer in our hand. But for its size, I feel it is very powerful. And what's really cool is that in this form factor, Intel will be releasing ones in their Core series, so not the Atom. So it's going to be a Core M3 and Core M5 in this. And those are going to have 4 gigabytes of memory. So you're going to double the memory, and you're going to get a much faster processor. They're not out yet. I'm not sure when they're going to be out. But this is a really cool form factor. I really love it. It's so easy. I mean, you plug it in, and you plug the power in, and you have a computer.
Yeah.
You know, these are great. This could be something that could replace school PCs, developing countries, you know, even like digital kiosks, things like that, where – you know, you have this very low cost, very low power device that allows you to still have a full PC experience. I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, you can get like what a 20-inch 1080p monitor for $100.
Less than that.
For like say $250, you can have a fully functional PC.
Yeah, and you know, and it does have 802.11ac Wi-Fi, so you have pretty fast Wi-Fi in there. Bluetooth as well. So if you do have any Bluetooth devices, you can connect them to this as well. It's a really cool thing. Like, again, it's not something like super crazy as far as performance goes, but I like it that it's not super gimped in the fact that you can do things you normally would do on your regular PC on it.
I think the biggest key, the major key, is that it runs full Windows.
Yeah, it runs Windows just fine.
Not a chopped down hack and slash version of some operating system. It's full Windows.
It's legit. Yeah, I do like it. The only thing is that I would have liked it to have more memory, just because, you know, again, you just open more than 4 or 5 tabs in any browser and your 2 gigabytes is gone. I also do want to point out that if you're looking for a streaming device, something to stream Netflix or whatever, I would not recommend this device. It's not too expensive. It's just for the fact that there's devices out there that do it better, right?
So, like just a better interface for that function.
And those aren't running anything else in the background, right? So if you're streaming, you know, this is running Windows in the background, and then you're going to run Netflix on top of it or whatever it may be. This, you know, you can get I have an Amazon Fire TV stick, which when I bought it was $20, but I think they're like 30 or 40.
Yeah.
And it is a perfect device to run Netflix, to run anything really.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. So, but if you're looking for a easy computing experience, this is a great, I would say this is even a great first PC for children and things like that. Because again, all you have to do is buy a display or just have an old display that has HDMI, get a crappy keyboard and mouse that's USB, and you're good to go. And you have a PC for somebody to use.
Like give them that gift where they can like learn to code or something.
Yeah. And this is perfect for that because that doesn't take up a whole lot of, you know, horsepower there. So really cool. It's $149 for the one that we reviewed. If you're looking for something with more performance, they will be coming out with other ones that are Core M5 and Core M3 with 4 gigabytes of memory. Just not sure when those will be out, but really cool device from Intel. I love the form factor. I love it. Super small. I couldn't
totally will scale up, I'm sure too.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. I mean, this is only the second generation. We're gonna see these.
Yeah.
You know, and
this is the type of thing that's gonna be replacing, I hate to say it, but probably most desktop PCs.
In the future, yes. Because as technology gets better and things get smaller and smaller and smaller, we'll have more powerful devices. And this is, like, as you said, just the beginning.
Yeah. Once the processor can reach the desktop speeds that we're currently at, I would see it just easily taking over.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because why buy a big box when you can have this thing?
It's not even know it. It's there. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check out my review. I did a video as well just showing you the size and what it's all about, so definitely check all that out. I had a lot of fun reviewing it. It was a really fun product, actually. So
cool.
Was pretty excited. So we'll move on to a product that's actually been out for 3 years, but they sent me one for some reason. It is the CM Storm Quickfire XT, and this is a mechanical gaming keyboard. And what's interesting about this is, you know, 3 years go by, in a lot of products, they aren't even sold anymore, or they're super cheap because they've been out for 3 years. But what's interesting about this product is that it's retained its price, and it's still one of the top sellers out there for CM Storm. I'm actually still using it right now. It is a great keyboard. The one that I have is Cherry MX Blue Keys, which I really do like. They're one of my favorite types of Cherry MX keys. It's just a key. Like, what's great about it is just a pure keyboard. There's no lights. You have no extra macro buttons or anything like that. There's not even any software. It is just a keyboard.
A lot of people really like that.
And it's a solid keyboard. It's very heavy. I don't know if you've ever picked up like a mechanical keyboard that's just heavy and nice. It's just one of those. It's a pure keyboard. Has great feel to it. One really cool thing that they did is, while most of the keys are Cherry MX Blue switches, the space bar, caps lock, escape key, and I think there's one more, all of those are actually Cherry MX Green switches. And the green switches are more springy, so you can do like double taps and stuff like that. So if you think about it, you know, you're playing a game where you're jumping a lot with a space bar, and you want to get that double tap and have a better feedback. So that's great that they've added that on the space bar.
And I kind of would have thought they would have done WASD as well.
You feel
satisfied with blues there?
Yeah, I feel satisfied with the blues there. I think the space bar is definitely like whoever came up, like, oh, let's put a green there because it's more springy and better, like, it's just awesome, I think. Especially when you're playing games where you are using the space bar a lot, you definitely notice it. So it's really, really great that they did that. But besides that, like I said, it's just a keyboard. It's a solid keyboard. It's really nice. You know, it's still $90, which might be...
That's like the standard for mechanical, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, 3 years later, it's still... That's how much... I mean, it came out at $100. It came out at $99.99. It's $92.17 on Amazon right now. So that's 3 years later.
So just a well-designed product.
Yeah, it's just
if it can retain its value.
Yeah, well-designed product. It's totally solid. Like, that's the biggest thing with this keyboard. It's like, I call it solid because it is. It's just a solid keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really good. I haven't had any issues with it. It's comfortable. I'm still using it now, so, you know.
Says something.
Yeah, so definitely. So definitely check. If you're looking for just a no-frills mechanical keyboard that is good, that's comfortable, that it's, you know, you're going to tell it has going to have great performance, this is definitely the keyboard for that. It's the CM Storm Quickfire XT. So
awesome.
And it's available in all Cherry MX flavors too. So if you're not a blue switch fan, you can get it in brown, red, or green.
Good deal.
And then finally, I took a look at a case from Raid Max, and this is their Monster 2. The thing about Raid Max is they've been out for such a long time. I think one of my first ever PC cases was from Raid Max. And in the beginning, I felt that they innovated quite a lot. And it's just like one of those things where they, you know, they just haven't really – it's kind of like the whole Antec thing where it's like they had the same designer – designing the interior of their cases, and they didn't really upgrade anything. I feel it's kind of like the same thing with Raid Max. While a lot of their PC cases are very flashy and cool, on the inside, they kind of feel dated. And this one does have updates that I do like. This is the first Raid Max case that I believe that I've seen that has a PSU shroud, which is something that we've seen for the past couple years from a lot of companies.
Yeah, basically a standard feature now.
Yeah, and then also... mounting of hard drives on the back side of the motherboard tray, which I did like.
Yeah.
But the big thing I didn't like about this case, I mean, I did like this case. It's, for the price, it's really good. But while on the front of the case, there's room for water cooling, and you would think they would make room at the top, but there's just not room. There's room for fans up there, but that's it. If you if you would want to do any water cooling, it just
Limited to a 240.
No, I mean it wouldn't even fit. It's
In the front.
In the front, no. In the front, you can do up to a 280. But in the top, it looks like there would be room, and I actually thought about mounting one up there. And then when I went, I looked at it, it would overhang your motherboard, and it wouldn't fit. In the front, you cannot do push pull. There's not enough room. That's just like an oversight there too, as well.
And that's odd because the front panel looks like it would give you room.
It doesn't. There's no room in the front panel.
Oh, that because it's the slots, right?
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. There's no room in the front panel. It's just like. This case is pretty well thought out, but it's just like there's things that I really wish would have been in this case, and that was especially the top mounting for the radiator. I wish they had support up there. The PSU shroud is nice, but it's kind of just blah. Like, you know, it's not really flashy doesn't really catch my attention.
It's just kind of required.
Yeah, the handles at the top are made of plastic; they're not metal, so. You know, once you fill this thing up with hardware, if you pick it up, you could have issues there. It's a for a price, I can't complain about it, you know.
It's a $70 case.
Yes, a $70 case, you know. But I just would have liked to see more. And the reason I say that is because you could have done more in that price range with this. You could have made the case just a little bit taller so you could fit a radiator up top. You could have cut the PSU shroud more so you could do push pull in the front. You know, it's just the little things. But again, I still gave this an 8 out of 10 because for the price you are getting a pretty good value. It is a nice looking case. You know, you do have the two cooling fans that do come included. You have more than enough room inside because there's no you have room for long graphics cards, power supplies. You have all that stuff. So I mean, it's a well thought out case. But I just thought I was really excited about it because I thought it was going to be a good case. And then you know that whole radiator thing at the top, kind of you know. And then as I went through, some of the things were just kind of weird. Like there's thumb screws on both of the back panels. All of the expansion slots don't have thumb screws, which is kind of odd to me.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's just like these like little weird.
So what things. Does it have? Like screw? Like regular screws?
Yeah, regular screws. Yeah.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah. So it's just kind of odd to me. But
and the rear fan. Overhangs the motherboard.
Yeah, the rear fan overhangs the motherboard. So when I was actually, I went to install my motherboard, which was the ASUS Z170A. It does have that rear I/O cover on it.
Yeah.
That a lot of the Z170 boards do. It's the kind of thing we saw with Z170. So when I went to install it, it was very very hard because that fan actually got in the way. It was actually quite hard to get my motherboard down in there. So
yeah,
that was another issue. You know,
I see that as a pretty major oversight.
Yeah, so that's one of the you know things.
Yeah,
but
it's too bad. I mean, it's still well. You and as you pointed out in your conclusion, there are better options at the price range.
Yeah, there are better options, especially if you move up to like $74.99,
which I think anybody with $70 has $75.
Yeah, if you move up to that, you have like the NZXT. I think it's the H230 or something like that, or I forget what I was looking them up. It's the S340, which is actually a really really nice case. A much better design inside. And I feel a much better look too. It's just you know, like I said, I've always been a fan of Raid Max. I thought they again in the early days they really innovated, but it's just kind of like they've fallen behind. So
too much stagnation.
Yeah,
it seems like because I had a power supply, that was my first power supply was from them, and it seems like they've just kind of like they got their niche right back in the day, and they've not really moved from it because it was making them money.
Yeah,
you now is probably the time to.
I mean, that's what happened. Like I said, I feel that's the same thing that happened with Antec. Everybody I knew back in the day had an Antec case.
Right.
They were awesome, and they did innovate, and they had some great things. And then you know, you see these Antec cases come out now, and they're not designed properly. They don't, especially internally, they're not designed properly. They, right. You look, you open it up, and it just feels dated, especially compared to companies that really do innovate right now. Corsair and NZXT especially, and Fantex as well, who just design cases for the modern PC builder. And, you know, I haven't taken a look. I can't think of the last Antec case I took a look at. But, you know, a lot of these lower-end cases, too, you see that the internal design just doesn't match up with what else is out there. And companies like Corsair and like, you know, I wouldn't say, well, Fantex did it. I actually have their newer case here that's the low-cost one. But a lot of these companies, you know, NZXT, Corsair, are coming out with low-cost cases, too. Yeah. That you can get for this same price between $50 and $70 that have those every, you know, while it, the, it doesn't look as great as their higher end cases, internally it's almost the same.
So, they have a great structure. They just don't have the same fit and finish typically.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot of competition, and like, you know, I just feel that RaidMax is behind. Antec is coming out with some new stuff that we'll see at Computex. So see if, how they do on that, but you know, it's one of those things where you have to continually innovate and bring new things out. So,
totally.
So if you think about it, NZXT was nobody, you know, 5 years ago, really. Corsair didn't even make cases 5 years ago, and Fantex was not even a company. So if you think of those are the ones that we're saying who are really innovating, and look at the landscape, I mean, it's going to change in the next 5 years too. So.
Yeah, you either innovate or you get left behind.
Yes.
It's all well and good to talk about, you know, you've got your tooling is all set up and don't change what's working, you know. But and yeah, for a time, but you definitely need to keep up with the times essentially.
Yeah, totally. So, those were all our reviews for the week. Definitely check all of them out. Had a lot of fun reviewing all of those products actually. So, good times. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which was yesterday, since today is Saturday.
No problem, though.
But I found this really awesome build. I called it the MSI Scratch build because I have no clue what it's called. I actually found that there's a group on Facebook that I'm part of called Water Cooled PC. And a lot of people who post on there are from different countries. And this guy's actually from Vietnam. I don't even want to try to say his name. Thai Son Dang.
I wanna see. You're actually probably better.
Thai Son Dang, maybe.
Oh, it's probably not even.
But
close.
He posted this about a week ago, and
yeah, I saw it too.
I have to say that this build is the best Scratch build so far this year.
Yes, it's absolutely sick.
I don't even know how to explain it. You guys just have to go to the page and check it out.
It's like space age looking.
It is super super cool. It's amazing because I have no clue where the pump is. I haven't even found it.
Oh, now you challenged me. Now I have to.
Yeah, like
it's on the one side.
Okay, but it's just this amazing Scratch build that doesn't even look like a computer. Almost, it is.
It's like the Inwin blade or what's the blade one? Which one is the Inwin?
I don't know.
I think it's the H-frame.
H-frame? No. Well, it's...
Anyways, it's got these, you know, several, or like a whole section of vertical blades that are like panels that are, you know, like make a bladed front. And then it's got like, it's kind of all like raised up off of a platform, off of a base that's the reservoir. And like, yeah, you're right. It's like impossible to describe.
Yeah, this thing is so... You guys really just have to go to...
I tried.
go to the page and check it out. I'm just amazed at the craftsmanship, at how he's able to get the water cooling there, but not make it look specifically like there's a lot of water cooling. Like, the as Derek said, the base is the reservoir, so it's really hidden. I really like it. The colors are great. It's just a really cool build.
He hides the radiator so well, too.
Yeah, everything is super hidden. It's just super awesome.
It's not even the reservoir. The reservoir is actually on the backside. It's just channeling built into the base.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. Definitely check it out. I would say this will probably be at least on our list of best mods of 2016 when we do that at the end of the year. Because it's just, it's really, really good. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat this, I think.
It's art. It's just a work of art.
Yeah, it's definitely a work of art. Oh, there's the radiator. Wow, I found
it. Yeah, in the back
yeah,
corner.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, guys, definitely check this out. A great work by, I'm going to butcher the name again, Tai Son Dang. But I link his Facebook and the build log, because he actually has a build log on Facebook. There's nothing, there's no build log anywhere on the forums. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. So, but he does have a build log on his Facebook. So I definitely linked to that. It's just a really awesome build. Definitely one of the best scratch builds I've ever seen. So that should tell you enough to definitely go check it out. And there's a probably like 30 photos in there, half of it. So
yes.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I was like blown away by it. I mean, that's just crazy. I really like it. Great.
It's so like, it's so exotic and yet understated at the same time.
Yes. So that is all of our content that we did this week, and we'll move on to news. And there is some virtual reality news that I'm actually excited about.
This first one is like awesome.
Because I'm not a proponent of VR at all.
Because Bob's stupid.
No, I don't want to have something on my head or whatever. But
you do.
So this week was the launch of the Oculus Rift.
Right.
And with that, a piece of software launched that is $14.99 on Steam. It is called the Virtual Desktop. And what it is it allows you to use your desktop in VR. So a lot of people, I mean, for the most part, VR is reserved for gaming and different types of VR experiences, really. What this does is this will totally transform your desktop into a VR world. And it's super, super cool. I can't really explain it enough. We actually have a video in our post, so definitely check out the video. One of the coolest things, and it's actually really freaky, is that this software supports 3D, or not 3D, 360 video.
Yeah.
So you can load a 360 video on the, you know, in this software, load it, and basically turn around, and you're in the video.
Yeah, like it's got a built-in 3D.
A 360 player. Yeah, it is super, super cool. It has a lot of really cool things. Whoever built this software, it's really great. It supports dual monitors too, so you can actually have both of your displays up on, like, you know, your VR displays.
It's the future, Bob.
This is definitely the future. It's really awesome.
You go into your VR environment, and it puts up a pane that is your desktop, what you would normally see as a desktop inside Windows, which you can't access otherwise, which means you have to break, you know, out of VR to do system functions.
Yeah, so this brings that all together into one unified thing. This is the future for sure. This has me more excited for VR than anything else that I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of VR stuff for the past couple years. So
I thought the narration on the trailer sucked, but other than that, you have to watch it, because it's
definitely
it's pretty impressive.
And it's $15. That's nothing. It's you can get it through Steam. You know, and you can do, you know, you it's yeah. this is definitely the future. That's all I can say. Definitely check out the trailer. It's super, super cool.
Yeah. And it also, aside from just putting those desktops in, like you said, it's got the video player, and it also lets you do a lot more customization to your VR environment.
Yeah.
So that's cool too.
So every time you go into VR, on your desktop, it can be this environment that you create. It supports, 3D environments. It supports 3D photos, which is really cool too. Or not 3D photos, 360 photos. So you can load a photo and actually kind of walk through the photo, which is weird too. It's a really, really cool piece of software. And for $15, if I had a VR headset, that'd be the first thing I get before any game. So
yeah.
So yeah.
And it allows you to play games within VR that aren't built for VR.
Yeah, so he has a – I think he was playing League of Legends or something.
Yeah.
You can play that in VR. Super, super cool piece of software. Hats off to whoever created it. It's awesome.
And my biggest question with that, though, is like, what kind of system requirements are needed to not only run the headset but also run the game graphics within the headset?
That's very true.
Is it going to require, you know, more headroom than what's required for a VR game, or is it just equivalent to VR game?
That's very true, because the game is not in VR. You're projecting it in VR, but it's not a VR experience.
You're not walking around inside the game.
Yeah.
You're playing the game on a VR desktop.
Yes.
Right.
So it shouldn't use the amount of horsepower that a specifically VR game would.
Right.
But I think it would use a little bit, because you're running the software in the background, so it's going to use a little bit more horsepower than your game tip, you know, normally would.
Yes.
But again, one of the coolest things I've seen for VR, I would love to play around with this, actually, more than any game or any VR experience that I would. So.
Yeah. And now that someone has launched this, we'll see copies of this that will become better and better and better.
Yeah, and I assume they're going to improve this as time goes on as well. Yeah. So.
Yes.
So yeah, super cool. So if you do have an Oculus, this is one of the things that I would definitely get.
Yeah, for sure. I just need to be in VR right now.
Talking about VR, PlayStation VR, of course, is the VR headset coming out for the PlayStation 4. And a little interesting piece of information came out about it is that the Sony Computer Entertainment Executive Vice President... I can't even say his name.
Nikai?
Yeah, said that they possibly could be bringing the headset to PCs, which in a business sense makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because one, it is the cheapest VR headset that would be coming out.
Awesome.
And two is that it would expand... you know,
their customer base?
It would expand their customer base and put them into a whole new market, which VR is a big market. If you look at HTC, their main product is phones.
Yeah, that actually was like, when they first announced it, it was HTC Vive. I'm like, HTC, are you sure?
Yeah. And then
but this is huge.
And
so
Oculus is a brand new company. Who bought them? Did Microsoft buy them?
Facebook,
okay. So, I mean, they're owned by Facebook, but... you know, when they first started out, it was a brand new company.
Yeah, they
VR.
Were a startup. Yeah.
So we have these three big players, and I would say these are the three big players. You know, we'll see Microsoft probably come in out with a product next year too.
Yeah.
But you know, it would be great to see PlayStation. You know,
I think it's a no-brainer because PlayStation has always been more similar to PC. Yeah. I felt, you know,
yes.
This is just a no-brainer. Just make it so it works on PC. It shouldn't.
Yeah, and what's interesting
be that difficult.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is. Compared to a PC, the PlayStation is very underpowered.
It's a child.
Yeah, so if you're going to be able to play VR on a PlayStation 4 and it look good, imagine what the headset, you know, what you could do on the headset on a PC.
Well, and this headset should actually be cheaper for PC than PlayStation because it comes, when you buy this for PlayStation 4, it comes with a graphics module.
Okay, yeah.
To actually beef up the graphics because the PlayStation 4 can't run VR.
So now this is something I don't think we'll see initially at launch. Like when this is actually officially launched, you know, they're going to concentrate on getting games out for it and things like that. But in the future, I could say like the second version of this might be PC compatible, which would be, I think would be super cool. I love that if there's more competition in the marketplace, it makes for better products. So I think that this is something that's, you know, be good. It'd be definitely be good for Sony, I feel, and I think it'd be good for the whole industry. So
like I didn't pre-order. Excuse me, I didn't pre-order the Vive because I was like waiting for things like this to happen.
Yeah. So talking about graphics cards, this week we had new graphics card or new driver releases from NVIDIA as well as AMD.
A new drama.
And it looks like the latest GeForce driver, which is the 364.72 game-ready driver, it is messing up people's graphics cards. It's all over Reddit and the GeForce forums. So people have been seeing failed booting, blue screens, crashes, gray and green. I can't even talk to them. It's like Saturday, man. I'm supposed to be sleeping. It's like gray and green screen artifacting, flickering, visual corruption, freezing, G-Sync issues, DSR scaling issues, and even people have been reporting that their GeForce GTX graphics cards are dying after they install these drivers, which is really interesting. And it's not something that's definitely made up. It is all over these forums. It's all over Reddit. It is, you know...
Yeah. This is the AMD nightmare all over again.
Yeah. So,
if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, the old adage.
Yeah.
I kind of don't update my graphics drivers unless I'm like, I need more performance, I'll try this, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I do. Like, I rarely, especially on my main PC, because I don't really necessarily play a lot of games, but like, I'll get a new game or something, and then mm-hmm. I'll want to play it, and it's like, oh, you need to update your driver. That's the only time I do it.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's stable, don't mess with it.
And the only other time I do is like when they first launched GeForce Experience, I installed that driver because I want to see what the whole GeForce Experience. And then whenever they launch new features on GeForce Experience, I'll usually download the driver to check those out. But that's mm-hmm. it. So I don't even know what version of driver I have. I couldn't even tell you.
Been several since the GeForce Experience came out. So
yeah, so I'm actually opening GeForce Experience.
They'll get it fixed and all, and hopefully the people that had cards die, they're relatively new cards, so they're still under warranty.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is if you've got an old card, don't mess with it because you're not gonna probably get that replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not likely that NVIDIA is going to feel generous towards you in this regard.
My GeForce Experience has been updating, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, you broke it now. Now you're going to 364.72, and our podcast is going to cut
off. Yeah, we'll break the podcast. This week, my podcast doesn't break this week.
Yeah, is it still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording, so we're good.
Good.
I need to close this. Close GeForce Experience.
Don't let it do its thing.
Okay.
Anyways, right?
Yes. Anyways, I just closed it, so we're good. But yeah, it's really, we haven't had a big driver issue like this in a while where all this is happening. So, you know, we'll see what the actual cause. I'm sure knowing NVIDIA, they'll have a fix out for whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And we'll probably see that on Monday. So
yeah, kind of troubled waters for NVIDIA as of late has seemed.
Yes. Yes. So don't download the driver. I wouldn't do it until we see an update or something from, you know, at least next week. So
yeah,
definitely avoid that. But talking about cool gaming stuff, EVGA finally officially announced their SC17 gaming notebook. And this is a gaming notebook that I got to see firsthand at CES. And if you're any type of PC user, especially I would say an enthusiast, you'll love this product because, you know, when you get a laptop, you can't really change anything. You can change stuff, but you can't go in there and overclock your processor. You can't, you know, overclock your memory. You can't do anything with, you can sometimes do stuff with graphics, but there's not a lot. This totally changes that. This laptop is 100% built from the ground up from EVGA. It's one of the coolest things that I saw is that it has a graphical BIOS like you would normally see on a motherboard. So the BIOS actually matches the EVGA UEFI BIOS that's on their motherboard. So you can go in there and overclock your processor. You can go in there and change timings on your memory. All the things that you would be able to do on a PC, you can do on this laptop.
So you just get a full BIOS.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's awesome. The power supply for this, the power adapter is built in-house from EVGA because, of course, EVGA does make power supplies. So everything is built from EVGA. It's really, really cool product. Super powerful, not huge either, which is great.
But it looks fairly slim actually.
Yeah, but I mean it has a Intel Core i7 6820HK, which is super powerful processor. I got to look at it. I actually have the video in our post from this week too when I actually got to take a look at it. It's just super cool. I don't know if we have a price.
A lot.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty expensive. But if you're looking for that desktop replacement, if you're looking for an ultimate gaming laptop, this is one I would definitely check out. And
you said it's a 17-inch?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's a big guy.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. Oh, and
one more thing,
that is there is a clear CMOS button on the laptop. How awesome is that? So if you mess something up in the BIOS, you can clear your CMOS.
Where is it, though?
It's I believe it's right by the power button.
That's terrible.
That's awesome.
Can you imagine hitting clear CMOS when you're in the middle of using it, though?
Well, it's not. It's one of those buttons that's like hard to hit. It's not
okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's not like the it's not like the power button. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
But it's
oh, is it that recessed little hole above the power button?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay, that would work.
Yeah. So it's very, very cool. Definitely check it out if you're looking to get a new laptop. Yeah.
If you're a hardcore user and you want a laptop.
Yes. And another product that came out this week that also was announced at CES that we also showed you pretty much before everybody else is MSI's X99A Godlike Gaming Carbon. And this is their ultimate X99 motherboard. It is awesome.
It's gorgeous.
It has carbon fiber on it. It's real crazy. It brings everything that MSI did on Z170 that was kind of left out of X99. Everything's back in this. This is a super high-end motherboard. It has their highest audio solution. It has
I gotta be honest, this looks like the best X99 board that's been released.
Yeah, it is such a nice board. It has amazing Wi-Fi. It has the killer DoubleShot X3 Pro,
of course,
which puts their onboard LAN and their wireless in this board. It is just awesome. Awesome.
Not lacking in a single feature.
Yeah, it basically has every high-end feature that's been on X99 and Z170 all in one board. So if you are looking to go the high-end desktop route, This is definitely a board that you should get.
The lighting on it is sweet too.
Yeah, there's
awesome. A lot of time it's like all recessed. A lot of times that the lighting is, you know, direct LED. So like you can kind of, it's like shining right in your eyes, but this is all like hidden behind shrouds and stuff. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Something we've not seen. I kind of want this now. Even though I hate to say X99 is kind of it's not yet dead, but it is.
Well, no, it won't be
dead platform.
No, because this X99 boards will support Broadwell E when it comes out.
Okay.
So you'll have that entire next generation.
Gotcha.
Which we should see here very soon. Yeah, but this board has everything. Like I said, every major feature that you would want on a motherboard is in this board. There's nothing that's left out. If you find something's left out, let me know, because there's nothing left out here. You have all of your overclocking functions on the board. You have debug LED. You have voltage checkpoints. You have power and reset buttons on the board. You have the best audio, the best LAN. You have the ability, because it's X99, you can fully populate all the GPU slots. The GPU slots have the metal shielding on them. You have U2 support for super fast hard drives. You have USB 3.1. You have the Type C port. I mean, I don't know what's not on this board.
Can you turn the slots off?
The dip switches.
Not a deal breaker, though.
Oh, I think that's a BIOS switch. That's not a super deal breaker, but that might not be on this board, but I don't see it. There's a lot of switches. Look at the bottom. There's one, three switches. I don't even know what any of those do. There's a lot of stuff on this board, guys. It's super cool. You can fit 128 gigabytes of DDR4 in there. this is something that I want. This needs to be my next board for my next main PC.
Yeah. Are those, is that a voltage checkpoint?
At the top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Above the power strip?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. A lot of boards have that, but the way that it's just like brought right there and there's little recessed spots for them, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so most of the super high-end boards do have this little thing that makes it much easier to read your voltages all that.
Did you see the power adapter? It has 8-pin plus 4-pin?
Yep.
So the CPU power?
Yep, so you can do some really high-end overclocking. Some
serious overclocking.
Yeah, this is, like I said, this is an awesome board.
I'm like spending money in my mind right now.
you're like, just take all of my money.
Yeah.
But yeah, awesome board. I don't know the price, I don't think. It's going to be very high. You're looking at
$500-$600.
Yeah, four to $600, I would say.
I think so. MSI does tend to be more
budget friendly.
Yes, budget friendly. Yes. Regardless of the level of their board.
Yeah. So we will move on to a pretty cool product that was just announced in conjunction with StreetCom, HWBot, and Overclocking TV. They have developed what they're calling the Open Bench Table. And what this is a table made for benchmarking, especially when it comes to overclocking and doing things like that, that's portable, that you could basically take with you.
Does it say, do you set this on the tabletop?
You set this on the tabletop, but the actual feet or the legs actually come out and you put them back onto the top tray.
Okay.
So you can actually travel with this. This is something that you can take.
But it's not tabletop height.
Oh, no, no.
I was trying to like get my head around it. And okay.
If you scroll down, there's
a pit. Yep, I see that now.
So this is a really cool product. I love bench tables. I would actually get one of these just to have one because bench tables make it very, very easy to swap out motherboards. Yeah. All our motherboard reviews, I have a bench table here. It just makes it easy to swap them out to, if you're doing any overclocking, to swap out a card or whatever. If memory goes bad, you can easily swap it out. So this is a really cool product. It's in, as I said, you can take it apart and basically the legs go back up into it, and you can take it with you, which is really cool.
Overclock parties and stuff.
Yeah. You know, and I could just see this being used at events.
LN2 parties.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really, really cool. You know,
it's cool. Yeah, it is really cool. I should probably get into this.
Yeah, and this is something that, you know, the overclockers can take to their different events with them because it just makes it much, much easier than bringing a case or even some of the setups that we've seen. And it just makes it more organized, too, when you're doing certain things. A lot of times we see these overclocking competitions, they just have, like, the motherboard on the motherboard box.
Just stuff everywhere.
So this is really cool. It seems like a really cool product. I would actually like to have one just to have it, another bench table here.
Do we expect it to be expensive?
I do not know.
And does it say what it's built out of?
It looks like aluminum.
I would think.
Or some type of metal. Yep.
Milled aluminum.
Yeah.
I bet it's in the $200 range.
Yeah. And this is going to be brought out as a real product. It's going to be called the Streecom BC1.
Hmm.
So this is something cool. Maybe I'll try to get one to review.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd definitely be cool.
So the little glass plates, that's just put the legs in. There's nothing to like.
Yeah.
Because it almost looks like water cooling channels, you know?
Yeah, that'd be super cool, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool product. I thought it was one of the more interesting stories this week because we don't see a lot of cool stuff like this, I don't think. Bench tables, at least.
Not usually. We don't see a lot of bench table news. They just kind of come out and exist.
Yeah, so I really liked it. So hopefully, maybe I'll get one to review. Talking about another launch this week, I feel this week is all launches. Like, there's not a lot of crazy news this week at all.
Yeah, happens sometimes, right?
Yes. So, QNAP, who makes NASes, came out with the first M.2 SSD NAS, which they're calling the NAS book.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is. So, if you think about it, M.2 drives are super, super fast.
And super small.
Super, super small. So this looks like a little,
portable hard disk drive.
Almost. It looks like a router.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Basically looks like a router, but inside you have M.2 drives. Yeah,
the back of it totally looks like a router.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just looks like a little router. So there's a bunch of different versions of this. They will, you can do 2, 4. I think you do 2, 4, and
no, it looks like
2 or 4. 2 or 4,
and then there's two different models.
Okay, so you could do 2 or 4 M.2 drives. This is like super, super fast. You know, people who are using a lot of storage as far as network storage, this is gonna be something. And again, this is the future because, you know, I have 3 NASs here that all support old hard drives, not old hard drives, but they support traditional mechanical hard drives. And, you know, with SSDs, we've seen SSD NASs, you know, but they're not super popular, you know, yet. We'll see them become more popular. And now the M.2 NASs, and that just makes a NAS device. If you look at the pictures in our article, this is such a small device, and you can stack these and you can have a ton of them.
Suddenly you can put a server like in a literally put a server in a closet.
Yeah.
Like a full functional server with these. Yeah. That would be cool. But this is expensive right now, I bet.
Oh yeah. These are going to be very, very expensive. Yeah. So
ship with 960 gigs of M.2.
Yeah.
All rated up. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. So but a really cool device. Again, this is the first one according to QNAP. So we'll see more of these in the future, obviously. But it's cool to see the first one come out, and I like it. I want one.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yes. And then finally, the last launch of the week here. It is Corsair, and they unveiled their M65 Pro RGB gaming mouse this week. I actually have it here.
Oh, really?
They just sent me one, yes. So this is a really cool mouse. This is basically their FPS gamer mouse. So you don't have a whole lot of buttons. It's designed more for FPS gamers, the actual design and everything like that.
Actually, it looks good.
Yeah, it's a good mouse. It's called the RGB because you can change the colors to obviously any color that you want. And this has a 12,000 DPI optical sensor. Optical sensor. So that's the highest optical sensor that's out right now, I believe.
Yeah.
So, really
cool. So this is not their top end mouse then?
This is not their...
I mean, with optical, usually you...
This is their top end FPS mouse.
Oh, really? And they chose optical?
Yes. For FPS, optical is usually better than the laser. A lot of people... We went from optical to laser, and then people realized that optical tracked a little bit better.
Okay.
For certain situations. So, yeah. It's made of aluminum, which is nice. Has a dedicated sniper button, too, which is pretty cool. You can use it with Corsair Utility Engine, their Q software, so you can program everything. It's really cool. I did open the box, but I didn't open the mouse yet. So
yeah.
I haven't really got my hands on it. But expect a review very soon, so pretty excited about that.
It's got a decent shape.
Yeah, it should be comfortable. I actually need a new mouse. I'm using a TT Esports black... What is this? A black V2, which I wasn't even using, and then another mouse that I had. The one that I really liked was that claw style mouse from Cooler Master, but it had that problem with the
mouse wheel.
Yeah, or no, where I would click it and it was so annoying. But it was that mouse, that style is amazing. I really like it, but I could not every 10 clicks it would screech, and I just had to be done with it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So.
So what's next?
Well, coming next week, we have some really cool products. I have Corsair's 400C case, and this was announced at CES. And this is a very inexpensive case. It is $100, $99.99. It has that awesome clear side panel that we saw on their 600C. So this basically you can show off everything that's inside your system. Really good internals, just made to be that $100 case that has we talked about earlier in the podcast that has all of those awesome features that are on the higher end cases, just not as great fit and finish.
Probably the metals are, it's gonna be steel, etc.
Yeah, and so the side panel on the 600 C was glass. This is a acrylic, or I don't, it's not plastic, but it's not glass. You know what I mean?
Right, acrylic.
Yeah, so, but it's still a good case. I actually did a video on it yesterday, and I really do like it, especially for the price. I'm going to go through installation this weekend and see how that goes. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Pretty cool.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yes. So, next I'll be taking a look at a NAS. We were just talking about NASs, and I'll be taking a look at Western Digital's latest NAS product. It is their MyCloud EX2 Ultra. And this is supposed to be their, with Western Digital, most of their NAS devices are made to be easy to use, especially for consumers, people who are backing up a lot of data. And they sent me the 8-terabyte version, which is pretty cool. Nice. And what's cool about this, it runs a software called MyCloud OS, and you can get apps for it to do certain things. So, you can get a Plex media server, so you can set up a media server. You can set up WordPress and things to run off of the server. You can do
You can kind of customize the software to do the things that you actually need.
Yeah, it works with Dropbox, a lot of cool stuff. Nice. And it's cool. So, and again, the MyCloud OS is supposed to be really easy to use, really like a good graphical interface, much like what we saw with the Synology router that I just reviewed.
Right.
This should be the same thing, and I really like that because. These devices are very complex, and if you don't, if the interface is hard to use, it makes it a challenge, especially for a lot of first-time users. And I haven't really reviewed a NAS in years, it's gonna be interesting. And I really like easy to use things because even though I'm a technical guy, I'd rather have it just be easy, and I can just one of those things you kind of set it and forget it, and that's what I want to do. I don't want to spend hours configuring my device. I don't think anybody does.
Some weirdos, but
yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah, so taking a look at that, and I'm taking a look at a Z170 board. This is the ASRock Fatality Z170 Gaming K6. This is, of course, the Fatality line is their gaming line. So I actually haven't taken a look at a Z170 Fatality board. At least I don't think I have.
I don't think so.
So I'm pretty excited to see how this does. This is their K6 Plus, so it is the nicer one out of the. There's a K6 and then there's K6 Plus. I'm not specifically sure the difference, but it'd be cool because I haven't checked out one of these Z170
boards yet. Have you even done an ASRock Z170 board yet?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But I haven't taken a look at their gaming line, so kind of cool to check out what the gaming line is all about. So I will have that for you hopefully this week. I'll be doing the install hopefully this weekend. And I'm taking a look at an iPhone case, and the thing that I really like about this company, the company's called Native Union. I actually looked at one of their charging cables, is that, you know, you see all these cases for all these different phones. These ones seem to be very interesting, and all of their products are actually very, very cool and super useful, but they're made of really good quality materials. And like, you know, when you get like a crappy case, you're like, oh, this is a crappy case. These seem really, really nice. You know, made of really good,
unique as well.
Yeah. So this one I'm taking a look at is called the Click 360. Very, very unique. I actually had it out last night, and Barry was like, three people asked me where I got my case, which is really interesting because that never happens. So this one actually, it's called British Millerain Canvas. That's what it's like. It's like a type of material that's on the case, and it gives it a really cool look. It's really something different. And this
like tent canvas.
No, I don't know.
Okay,
but it's really cool. And what's interesting is that I had a case that I just bought when I bought my iPhone that I spent $50 on, and it was not worth $50 at all.
Yeah,
and I didn't like it. It made my phone a lot more bulky than I thought it should. And
that's my biggest complaint with these cases.
Yeah, well, this one is not super bulky. It's very lightweight. It doesn't make my phone much bigger than what it is. And it does have this case is military grade drop proof protection. It's pretty cool. And I really like this company. I really like a lot of the products from Native Union because they're very unique and very different from what's out there. They're not just making iPhone cases because that's an easy thing to get into and you can make a lot of money. They're really interesting and they're really different, and they have a lot of cool products. So
they have good style.
Yeah, really good style too. So that's what we'll be taking a look at next week. So that brings us to the end of the podcast here. And we always talk about what we might have done this week. Did you do anything cool this week?
No, I worked so much. It was stupid.
Me too. Did I do anything this week?
I feel like I was such a loser this week, but nope.
Yeah.
Nothing tech, nothing exciting.
Yeah, me neither.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, maybe next week we'll be better people.
We've been really drilling along here trying to get a lot of these reviews done, and I've been working on a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with the site, so...
Work. Sometimes you just get to work.
Yes. So, until next week, guys, we will definitely check you guys later. As always, you can go to our show notes page. So everything that we talked about, you can go along and follow along and click on the articles so you know exactly what we're talking about. Especially check out the Case Mod Friday build this week because it is simply amazing.
Yeah.
Till next week. Catch you guys later.